You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This podcast is brought to you by OnlineGambling.com, the place to be for all the latest gambling news and tips throughout the NFL playoffs. Visit OnlineGambling.com/NFL to get the edge over the competition throughout this year's playoffs. And we return here our first Taco Tuesday post-Ravens 2021 season, not postseason for the Ravens, as they did not make the playoffs here in 2021, or now I guess it's 2022. But now we are diving into a full slate of purely offseason. I mean, we're going to talk about the 2021 season a ton, of course, throughout the course of this offseason, but now it's draft time, draft season, free agency season, trade season, getting the Ravens better season. And this team's going to look a lot different, I think, you know, come 2022, the season of 2022, when the Ravens take that field in September against whoever they're playing. You know, we'll talk throughout the rest of the week here about their upcoming schedule, because they will play the last place schedule. We'll talk about a bunch of other things as well. But here today, I did want to take the first two segments, at least, to talk about what the Ravens players had to say to the Baltimore media in their, you know, I guess you can call them exit interviews. The Ravens, you know, without having a game to prepare for this week, put their players in front of the microphone. And there were a lot of good tidbits that were said yesterday. So I want to just talk about those, what they could mean for the future of the players, of the team, and more. And then in the final segment, we'll continue kind of a general analysis of where this team is headed and what the future looks like based off of pure personnel, coaching, and some other stuff along those lines. So let's dive into it all here. Before we do that, though, be sure to follow the show in audio form. If you're listening to us in audio form on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, hit the notification bell so you get those notifications. Also, if you're here with us in video form so you can see my face and my background, be sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video. It does help out on the YouTube algorithm, and we are growing that channel at a very good rate, and I'm happy to see all the growth that it's done. And we are still going to be doing content 5 days a week. 5 days a week of podcast episodes. The grind does not stop, even though it's the off season, and we're going to continue here on a regular schedule, just different content that's not so in season like, because there literally is just not a season. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosTracker34 and the Locked On Ravens account at Locked On Ravens. So with all that being said, let's talk about what some of these Ravens players had to say to the media on Monday. And we'll start off with Josh Bynes. And Bynes had a lot of really nice things to say overall. I mean, he said, quote, "It just came down to us not finishing, and the other team just made one more play. These last six, we couldn't get it done. That's why we fell short." And so, yeah, I mean, perspective, right? A lot of people understand, oh, yeah, this Ravens team lost six straight games. That's exactly why they're not in the playoffs. And look, they didn't take care of their business on Sunday in Week 18. Even if they were in a win-and-in scenario, they wouldn't have gotten in if the result of that game was the same. So, you know, it's just close loss after close loss, and Bynes is right. You know, he said, yeah, they just couldn't get it done, and that's exactly accurate. But he also said that he is beyond interested in staying with the Ravens, something that I was very pleased to hear. He said, quote, "I feel like I have a lot of ball left in me. I feel like I have 2, 3, 4 seasons, whatever amount is given to me," end quote. And so Bynes, who is now 32 years old, is going to be a pending free agent. This is a player that I think it's a pretty no-brainer that the Ravens should re-sign Josh Bynes. I mean, if not just to compete for a roster spot, you know, if there are other players who are better than Bynes who, you know, end up making the team over him, then that's awesome. But I think that Bynes has earned another contract in Baltimore. He was a player who literally, I called him the savior of this defense. And yes, as the year went on, the defense continued to suffer injuries and go through that, but he was really a player who shored up tackling, you know, brought energy from the start, really helped out young guys like Patrick Queen. And that's a player you want on your team. And I think that he's not going to be asking for $50 million a season. He seems like he loves Baltimore. He said he's beyond interested in returning to the team. I think that's a player that the Ravens should prioritize re-signing. It's not going to break the bank. The Ravens don't have a ton of cap space this offseason. So you need to kind of find those bargain veterans who either have been around your team for a little while or are going to be new guys, right, for a Ravens team that is going to definitely lose some players this offseason to free agency and whatnot. They're going to have to kind of figure out, how do we maneuver this cap situation, especially with a big contract to Lamar Jackson coming. yeah, I think the Ravens would be very wise to re-sign a player like Josh Bynes. Moving on to Marquise Brown, his thoughts on the season. He said, quote, it was just a frustrating season as an offense. I just don't really feel like we played to our potential all season. We got a lot left. And he also said that the offense does take some positives out of not really playing its best and then still finding a way at times. And I mean, yeah, this year was definitely frustrating. I mean, for the players, I can imagine how frustrating it was. I mean, just losing a ton of your playmakers and having to go out there every week battered and bruised. And it wasn't just injuries. I don't want to chalk up the year for the Ravens to just injuries. I don't want to say, oh, well, injuries were the only excuse. No, I mean, the execution wasn't there at times. The play calling wasn't there at times, right? They just couldn't get the job done. And it has a lot to do with injuries. I'm not going to say injuries weren't a factor because they absolutely were. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to execute when you have to execute. The play calling has to be there when it has to be there. And in key situations, sometimes it was, but especially over the last 6 weeks, it just wasn't. Part of that has to do with not having a star quarterback in Lamar Jackson or your top two running backs in J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and all-pro left tackle and Ronnie Stanley. That stuff contributes. But again, you know, we can talk about Marquise Brown and his drops. We can talk about Tyler Huntley and his untimely interceptions and fumbles. You know, we can talk about the offensive line and their lack of protection, right? There are a lot of things that the offense didn't do right. But at the same time, as Marquise Brown kind of talked about there, there were some positives to take away from it because they didn't have their full complement of players for most, if not all. I mean, it was literally all the season. And they still were able to put together some positive performances, especially in the first half of the season, which, I mean, you can take some solace in. And Brown also talked about his drops and said that he just has to come down with those balls. And, you know, he set the play up right. And yeah, I mean, drops have been a continuous theme over the course of Marquise Brown's career. It is, you know, I'm not going to say holding him back because he has taken steps forward, but it is an area that if he can just eliminate those or almost completely eliminate those, because like every player has drops, right? It's not like a player is going to catch every single ball on like 100 targets every single season, right? There's going to be a player too where, like, whether it's a concentration drop or it's just a good play by a defender, right? It's going to happen. But there have been a little too many by Marquise Brown, and it's a part of his game that is definitely a weakness right now. He has improved in that area, but you know, you see the games like week 3 and you're like, oh, the potential is there, and you know, it's this, like, what would his season have been if he had caught those 3 balls in Detroit, which were pretty much all touchdowns? And you know, there's so much potential with Marquise Brown. He is still a big part of what this team does, and I am still anticipating him to improve and hopefully earn a second contract in Baltimore with his play. And he took a step forward within 1,000-yard season this year, the first Ravens receiver to do that since Mike Wallace in 2016, and obviously Mark Andrews did it as well. But he said that he had a weak 1,000 yards. You know, this wasn't a situation where he's like, oh yeah, this was a great 1,000 yards. Marquise Brown said that he thought he had a weak 1,000 yards, and he said, quote, the later half of the season wasn't consistent. So, you know, he is somebody who has a lot of work to do in the offseason, he said, and somebody who wants to improve, and he has that work ethic. We've seen it. He said that his focus in the offseason is to get bigger and faster and stronger and work in his route running and contested catches. I mean, now that the Ravens are in their offseason, it's still go time. You know, they have a lot of opportunities to go out there as players, you know, work out in the offseason, get better, get together with the teammates that they have and really improve on their craft. And it seems like Brown is very keen on doing that and continue to improve on what he has shown over the first 3 years of his career. And let's move on to another receiver here in Rashad Bateman, who said, quote, there's a bright future ahead. That's what we're looking forward to right now. And he also said that Bateman said that he was glad he got out of the season healthy. And you know, Rashad Bateman talked about earlier in the year about how he never really went through an injury like he did that over the course of his whole career in football. You know, this was a really trying time for him, or at least that was, and he was able to get through it and really, I think, put together a very solid rookie season overall. He's a player that when the ball was in his hands, good things were happening. You know, didn't really have a ton of drops. We saw a couple of them earlier, you know, right as he kind of started playing, but he kind of eliminated those, was a big contested catch guy. You can look at his catches against Cleveland in week 14 late in that game. I mean, the sky is the limit. I mean, for a lot of these Ravens wide receivers, we talked about Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, James Prochet, Devin Duvernay. They have a lot of young talent. Tylan Wallace, right? They have a lot of young talent that I think they can utilize in a lot of different ways, but now it's up to these players to continue to attack in this offseason, continue to get better and get back, because again, I think the pass offense as a whole took a step forward, but now we have to see what these receivers can do in the offseason. And Bateman also said that he couldn't be in a more blessed situation and that this year definitely taught him that. And that's, you know, something that kind of falls in line with a lot of what other players have said about this organization. Not every single player likes this organization, but, you know, for Bateman coming in into as a rookie into a situation that I think benefited him, it was great to hear that out of him for sure. But we'll head into our first break here. And when we get back, we will continue to talk about what Ravens players had to say to the media on Monday. So stay tuned for that. And we will be right back. People think unusual circumstances mean complicated taxes, but for TurboTax Live experts, that's what makes things interesting. Life changes are exciting, and they usually have tax implications. Maybe you were a full-time employee who decided to freelance, and now you need some advice on how to file as a contractor. Maybe you started driving rideshare after a 9-to-5 job, or maybe you work in one state but live in another, and you need help reporting your income. Luckily, TurboTax Live has experienced experts dedicated to answering all of your tax questions and finding every deduction for you, and you can talk to them from your phone without ever having to leave your house. Whether you got married, had kids, or changed careers, TurboTax Live experts are ready to help you with your unique tax situation and get you the best tax outcome. To TurboTax Live experts, an interesting life can mean an even greater refund. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. You do your thing, they've got your taxes, into a TurboTax Live. We return here. It's our second segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here, and we're now going to dive into what more Ravens players had to say to the media on Monday, and, you know, pretty much were their exit interviews. And why not start off here with the man, Lamar Jackson himself? And he gave an update on his status, and, you know, it wasn't really a big one. He just said, it's just day to day. You have to talk to the doctors about that. And so it's very in line with what John Harbaugh would say throughout his entire season of pressers with the media, right? He's saying, talk to the doctors, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm sure, you know, all these players, all these coaches got so tired of talking about injuries, and for the players who actually went through them, I mean, you know, it's probably tough for them to talk about it. But Jackson, yeah, just he said, talk to the doctors about that. But he also had some high praise for his team. He said, quote, I feel like my team never blinked. We still managed to have hope, to have fight at the end of the season. I can't really find the words to say about my team, but it's crazy. Our guys just fight, end quote. And yeah, a season that was so, I mean, so cruel and so brutal and had all these injuries and 6 straight losses. We saw at the beginning of the year, the magic that really came out of this year, and the fact that they were able to squeeze any magic out of it is kind of impressive, in my opinion. And for what this team had to go through and the way that they continued to fight, I think that, yeah, the way that they were able to go out there every week and perform at a high level in some situations. Now, some weeks were better than others, but at the same time, the fact that they finished with 8 wins in the first place with all the stuff that they went through is pretty impressive overall, but the 6 straight losses obviously do put a damper on it. And Lamar Jackson also said that it was very painful for him to be sidelined. He said, quote, I tell you how much I love football. I don't see myself doing that ever again, end quote. He absolutely does tell everybody how much he loves football. He is a competitor. He is a fighter himself. And I think that's why, you know, he related so much to the identity of this team over the course of the year, because, you know, whenever he is not able to play the game that he loves and do the thing that he loves, you know, it hurts him. And most likely it hurts anybody else who wasn't able to do the thing that they love. You know, it makes a lot of sense that he was kind of frustrated by that. And I think that for what the Ravens have gone through as a team and what they went through this year, you know, there's a lot to kind of look at. But the one thing that is for certain is Lamar Jackson definitely missed being out on that football field. And a big point this offseason is going to be Lamar Jackson's contract. And he said that he hasn't had any talks about that deal. He said, quote, I have to worry about getting back right and getting ready for this offseason, end quote. And so, yeah, you know, the most important thing to Jackson is that he is healthy and heads into 2022 with, you know, everything behind him, the ankle behind him and everything. And hopefully that heals in full and he's able to get healthy as soon as possible. But, you know, throughout this offseason, we're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson's contract. I'd be pretty shocked if he didn't sign a contract this offseason. Maybe he wants to bet on himself one more time heading into 2022, but I don't really see a contract happening during the year. And then after the year, he's entering unrestricted free agency unless there's a franchise tag that happens. So, yeah, it's a big talking point this offseason. And he also gave his thoughts on Greg Roman, a very controversial figure this offseason for the Ravens. Again, I have no idea what this team's going to do with him. There are definite reasons for him to either be retained or be fired. But when asked about Roman, Jackson said, quote, Greg Roman has been great for us. He's a great coach. We're glad he's here, but I can't get into that. I don't really know what they have going on upstairs. I don't talk about the stuff like that, but he's been good for us, though, end quote. And so the second part of that, he was referring to, you know, whether, you know, like the future of Greg Roman. And there's a lot to dive into with the future of Greg Roman and how much of this is player speak and everything, you know, who knows. But based off what he said, and that's what I'm going off of, he apparently enjoys having Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator. But again, the team will decide whether he is the right man for the job. I'm sure they will consult some of the players as well on that decision. And that is a situation to monitor. And Lamar Jackson talked a little bit about coming back to practice on that one day. And, you know, the big video of him being out there and kind of limping, and, you know, he was running and just he did not look right. And Jackson talked about that and said, quote, I wanted to play, but they shut me down. They didn't want me to go out and hurt myself more. I wanted to play. I just couldn't, end quote. And so that is, again, talking about the fighter, the competitor that Lamar Jackson is. He wanted to be out there with his teammates. And I think the team did the absolute right thing to not rush him out there, because if that ankle injury got worse, and who knows how bad it could have gotten, you know, we could be looking at not a Tyus Bowser situation, but maybe a situation where he is not able to, instead of hone his craft in the offseason, he's spending time rehabbing. And that is what Tyus Bowser, if the Achilles injury is true, what he's going to have to do. So I'm glad the team took that cautious approach and shut down Lamar Jackson. I think that was the smartest decision for them. And now talking about Patrick Queen a little bit, he said, quote, it hurts a lot knowing that we had everything in our fingertips. We just didn't capitalize. And I mean, yeah, the Ravens were at 8-3. They were a team that literally controlled their own destiny. They were at the top of the AFC through 12 weeks, and they just couldn't get the job done. They could not get the job done when it mattered. And that is kind of where the ultimate failure lies in this season, was they set themselves up so well. And I talked about it. I talked about it before the year. For months and months, early during the 2021 offseason, there was that the Ravens can win early. They can position themselves to lose late and still make the playoffs. They won early. I did not anticipate them losing that much late. So, you know, I anticipated them to win at least one of their last six games, maybe two of their last six games. That would have been enough to get in. You know, if the Ravens had just won two of those last six games, they would have been fine. But they did not, unfortunately. And Queen also said that he powdered a little bit during that rough stretch earlier in the season, but he bounced back. He bounced back from it, and I'm still very proud of Patrick Queen for doing that. And Bradley Bozeman, you know, pending free agent Bradley Bozeman, talked a bit about where his mindset is heading into the offseason, and he said, quote, we'll let our agents handle all the back-end stuff, and we'll see what happens. This place has been so amazing to me. And he got pretty emotional. He said, I'm just very grateful. It's been an amazing journey. And so, you know, it kind of seems like he's saying goodbye, but I really don't think that's the case. I'd be pretty shocked again if Bozeman left Baltimore. It'd be a crushing blow both to the team and to the community. And he has really shown that he can be a stable center. Yes, you know, the snap on Sunday in Week 18 was not amazing. The one that was just, you know, his worst one of the year, honestly. But he was able to, I think, stabilize a position that really hurt the team in recent seasons. You know, they haven't really had a franchise caliber center in a pretty long time now. And I think that it will be smart for them to give a little bit of a change to Bradley Bozeman and, you know, let him stay on this team. And if this is what works out for him and the team, I think that would be the best thing for him. And, you know, he does say that he sees himself as a center going forward. And he did say that center feels like his home, and I agree with him. I mean, he has shown the versatility that, you know, if he needs to move out the guard, he can do it. But I think that he is a center, and I think that's the position he should be playing. And talking about who he played next to in Kevin Zeitler, Zeitler said the retirement has never crossed his mind and said that Baltimore was a breath of fresh air for him, and he felt revitalized. And you hear a lot of vets going along that path and saying, oh, yeah, you know, Baltimore's a great organization, this, that, and the other. And I'm happy that Zeitler feels the same way. I thought Zeitler was an amazing signing. He kind of been on my radar for the past couple of seasons as a target for the Ravens and, you know, went to New York and played for a couple seasons. And, you know, now he's in Baltimore, had another phenomenal year, arguably should have been a Pro Bowler, in my opinion. And the fact that, you know, he said he never considered retirement here is great news for Ravens offensive line that could be undergoing some changes. But, you know, Zeitler, it seems like, will be a constant heading into next season. And finally, Brandon Williams here is the last player, and he's a player who is entering unrestricted free agency and a player who could also be mulling a bit of retirement. And he said that as long as the Ravens want him, he will be here. And I think that's a very ringing endorsement, something similar to what Jimmy Smith said. Now, Williams didn't go as far as to say, oh, I'm going to retire if the Ravens, you know, don't want me anymore. Smith is kind of gone that far. But Williams, you know, he could move on to another opportunity. I think Williams, look, it wouldn't be shocking to me if he was coming back in 2022, but it can't be for nearly the money that he was playing for. I mean, this would have to be a very team-friendly deal, in my opinion. I don't think Williams is going to be asking for what his extension was all those years ago, but he still showed that, especially over the second half of the season, that he is a quality run stuffer. The Ravens run defense, a top three unit this season. I think that he is a player to consider bringing back, definitely, although, again, the money does have to be right. But we'll head into our final break. When we get back, we'll be talking about, again, the direction of this team, where they need to go, where they should go, and where they could go in this 2022 offseason. So stay tuned for that. And we will be right back. Hey, Ravens fans, this is Kevin Allstrike with them kind of boy app. Everyone who buys gas needs to know about and get upside. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents a gallon cash back. Don't pay full price of the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. We're all looking for an edge these days, and I'd like to thank Online Gambling for sponsoring today's podcast. If you don't know already, onlinegambling.com is a website dedicated to giving gamblers the edge. Throughout the playoffs, they're providing you with the best NFL tips, news, and more to help make your bets as informed as ever. Online Gambling gives gamblers the edge by providing the best and most trusted experience online all day, every day, inspiring every gambler in the world to beat the odds. Don't make emotional decisions with your hard-earned dollars. Make informed decisions with informed sourced by experts. Be sure to consult onlinegambling.com before placing your bets. Online gambling is on a mission to be the world's most empowering gambling and betting site, giving gamblers the edge by providing the best and most trusted experience online all day, every day. Online gambling is inspiring every gamer in the world to beat the odds. So go to onlinegambling.com and check out the latest NFL playoff news and tips on how you can get the edge. Visit the website for NFL tips ahead of the playoffs and visit the website for all the latest NFL news. Make sure you visit onlinegambling.com/NFL for all the latest gambling news and tips to give you the edge throughout the playoffs. Remember, onlinegambling.com/NFL to make the most of this year's playoffs. We return here, our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Tuesday edition. Kevin Allstrike still here with you. And again, a big thank you for everybody who is making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day, tuning in, subscribing, and everything else under the sun there. But let's talk about this team now for a little bit. I'm just going to kind of talk freely about where this team, you know, could, should, maybe would head in this 2022 offseason, as I think it is one of the more important ones for this Ravens organization. Lamar Jackson's contract extension is coming up. Look, there's no guarantee that it happens, but I would be genuinely shocked if these two parties did not agree on an extension. I mean, it's pretty likely that it happens this offseason. Again, no guarantees or anything, just me, you know, kind of spitballing here. But, you know, the timing of the whole deal, there are the people who have said, yes, Lamar Jackson has lost himself a bit of money because of the fact that, you know, this is a what have you done for me now lately league. And what did Lamar Jackson do lately? Well, over the 5 weeks before his ankle injury, he really didn't play amazing football and was kind of struggling ever since that Miami game. He really took a downturn. I don't think that is the player Lamar Jackson is, but I think he definitely got in his own head a little bit, and the offensive line was a bit of an issue there where he was kind of running for his life and trying to play a bit of hero ball. But this offseason, I mean, the Ravens, so many different players who could potentially be leaving and guys who really mean a lot to what the team does and what the team has done over the past couple of seasons. I mean, the big ones are at least unrestricted free agents. You have Anthony Averett, you have Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, Bradley Bozeman, Deshaun Elliott, Patrick Ricard, some of those guys as well, Justin Houston, Devonta Freeman, Sammy Watkins, some of those players. The Ravens did sign Patrick McCary to a three-year extension, so he is on the team for the foreseeable future. But, you know, as I kind of talked a bit yesterday about, I think that Anthony Averett is probably going to depart in free agency. Now, it all kind of hinges, I think, on Marcus Peters, because let's say the Ravens do let go of Marcus Peters. Peters is supposed to make, or his salary cap number is supposed to be upwards of $15 million. And I think a restructure could be on the way between those two. But if Peters goes and Averett goes, and you have Jimmy Smith, let's say he retires, then the players that the Ravens have at corner are Marlon Humphrey and not a ton else. You know, they don't really have a lot of players there. So it would be a full, you know, revitalization, I guess, because you have to put in a bunch of new players, new bodies there that would have to help out, because you're losing your number two corner, you're losing your number three corner, you're losing your number four corner, right? You could bring back Chris Westry, and that's a player you could have. But, you know, other than that, you have Tavon Young, and that's really it. And the fact that Deshaun Elliott could also depart, the Ravens defense could look very different in 2022, not to mention Calais Campbell potentially retiring, Brandon Williams potentially retiring, Pernell McPhee potentially retiring, Tyus Bowser potentially being out for a little bit of the 2022 year with what could be a torn Achilles. You know, we don't really know. Justin Houston, Josh Bynes, right? This defense, they have foundational pieces, right? They have Justin Madubuike and Roderick Washington, Adafe Owe, Brandon Stevens, Chuck Clark, Patrick Queen, right? Those, and Marlon Humphrey, of course, those types of players. But they might be looking at some bargain veteran deals, as I kind of talked about with Josh Bynes. They might really revitalize their cornerback room through the draft. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens took a cornerback in the first round of this draft, kind of what they did with Marlon Humphrey. I mean, the pick of Humphrey, if you go back to that draft, was very unexpected by a lot of people. You know, the Ravens had Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr already there, and people thought that the pick could have been spent at a different position that was more of a position of need. And I think that, you know, people might not be expecting a cornerback in the first round. I know some people are, and it's more of a need now than it was then. But at the same time, you just have so many different directions this team could go in. And whether it's defensive tackle first round, offensive tackle first round, maybe is outside linebacker one that you look at now that Tyus Bowser could be out for the season? Do you look at a tight end? You know, there are a bunch of different positions that the Ravens could potentially draft with that 14th overall selection. I would not be shocked at all if it's a Sauce Gardner. I mean, Sauce Gardner dominant in college at Cincinnati, Jordan Davis on the defensive line. You have a lot of those players, but you know, some of the top storylines this offseason, Lamar Jackson's contract, the status of Greg Roman, what's going to happen with these free agents? Will the Ravens be active in free agency this offseason? Are there going to be any trades that the Ravens make? You know, who is going to be where? Recoveries of these players? There are a bunch. And it's a big offseason because once that Lamar Jackson contract extension comes down, we've already seen the Ravens start to have to let guys go. Za'Darius Smith, Matthew Judon, Yannick Ngakoue, some of those types of players that have gone on to flourish in some situations. And the Ravens are not going to be able to keep every player in it over the course of their franchise history. They haven't been able to keep every player. That's just what it is at the NFL level. It's not like you can re-sign all your guys and bring in new talents and whatnot. There are only 53 spots, only a certain number of dollars you can spend based off the salary cap. And that's where the Ravens, I think, have to look and say, yeah, there might be a running back drafted in the middle rounds if Devonta Freeman isn't re-signed, maybe another outside linebacker. They're going to have guys step up. Again, we talk about the contributions of young guys and the growth. Dalen Hayes, Adafe Owe, Rashad Bateman, Patrick Queen. You know, there are a lot of guys who are going to have to grow. Ben Cleveland, potentially, right? The return of Juwan James. That's a player who could be a wild card, who if the Ravens don't get a tackle they like early in the draft, if James could step in for a season and actually be a dominant player, that would be a huge, huge plus for an offensive line that, again, just struggled. There are also some potential cap casualties. You know, Marcus Peters was one I just talked about. I really hope that's not the case with him. I think the Ravens still need him, and I think a restructure would be the best option. But you know what happens with a player like Alejandro Villanueva? The Ravens bring back Patrick Ricard, or do they look to the draft and kind of, you know, hopefully not the draft, hopefully be unrestricted or undrafted free agency. But, you know, they were kind of almost preparing for the future without a Ricard, maybe when they drafted Ben Mason, you know, based off what Ricard gets on the open market. The Ravens let a very talented Pro Bowl fullback leave many years ago in Kyle Juszczyk. And I know Ricard does a ton for this organization and this team, but we'll see what ends up happening there. So storylines galore. in this Ravens 2022 offseason. We'll be talking about it here throughout the entire offseason on Locked On Ravens. So be sure to stay tuned and tune in to our episodes over the course of the offseason. But that's all I have for you today. I'm going to get back here tomorrow. We'll be diving into another mailbag. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.